Our New Testament reading this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Hear God's word to you this day. And now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Holy, disruptive God, shake us loose this morning. Open our hearts and minds to what you would say to us. Stretch us and shape us into the people you call us to be. Equip and empower us to be your disciples in the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have been thinking a lot about resiliency lately. Maybe it's from witnessing the hurricanes and earthquakes and wildfires and the human capacity to bounce back from such adversity. Maybe it's just day-to-day ministry that gets me thinking about the resiliency of people who get through trauma and grief and heartbreaking loss. But I'm also thinking about the resiliency of the church and what's required to preach the gospel in a world of very conflicting messages. The resiliency to be deliverers of hope, as Dr. Pierce has challenged us. As a pastor of transitions, I have the privilege of witnessing firsthand the resilience of communities of faith, bouncing back from hardship to find themselves stronger and more equipped for their mission in the world. We know this at First Pres. We have repeatedly bounced back from adversity in our history. We even name resilience as a necessary for discipleship in our mission of sending well-equipped disciples into the world. We say those disciples are compassionate, generous, resilient, and wise. What I hadn't thought much about as it relates to resiliency until my study of the text for this week is the role of giving, and specifically sacrificial giving, in building resiliency in the life of believers. What our text points us to today is that our resiliency is not born of our own success, not based on our own ability or means to get through challenging times. No, our resiliency as disciples of Christ is born out of the truth that our power comes from God. As we enter our Old Testament lesson today, we find the Israelites on the edge of the Promised Land, receiving the laws that would bind them together in community. When we think of the laws of the Hebrew Scriptures, it's helpful to remind ourselves that these laws were a means of protecting community, a way of promoting compassion for one another, and in this case, preparing the Israelites to settle into the land that God had prepared for them. The law, in a sense, is a toolkit God gave the people of God to build up community so that they could be a blessing in the world. Today's reading is the last portion of this code of law, and its focus is gratitude and giving. Here, the community is instructed that when they get to the land God is giving to them, When they finally arrive out of the wilderness into this promised land, they are to give their first fruits to God in response to God's tremendous grace and mercy that rescued them from slavery. Take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, it reads, and put it in a basket and bring it to the altar of the Lord. The people are commanded to bring the very first of what the land produces, the first of your income, if you will, and give it to God. I think today that the impact of first fruits is a little bit lost on us. Good food for us is readily available, in abundance, in fact. Hunger for us usually means you forget to bring your lunch that day, or you were too busy to eat. But if you take away Jewel and Sunset Foods and find yourself depending on the land for survival, first fruits involves a significant sacrifice. After your first harvest, you don't know if the land is going to produce more, or if drought or disease or pests will destroy your next crop. So the practice of giving the first of your harvest to God provides a repeated reminder that you are completely dependent on God for your existence. This sacrificial giving is a proclamation that our very survival and all that we have comes from God. And it is a declaration by that community and each individual that it is in God we trust. This is a big shift from the way many of us think about giving. Rather than figuring out our giving by what's left over, whether we're talking about money or time, or our giving is just one other line item in our budget, this first fruit command calls us to give the best of what we have first, and then watch what God provides. This is completely countercultural, and even as I say it, the voices in our heads are responding how impractical it is. I think there's a great irony in our coins reading, "In God We Trust." Our culture points elsewhere. In financial security, we trust. In our expertise, we trust. In our success and achievement, we trust. But all of that is fleeting, Jesus taught us. Staking our lives on money or success or achievements, like building a house on sand rather than a solid foundation. Not a resilient house, but a house that can be blown down when crisis hits, when challenges plague us, when things don't go our way. Yet God desires to build a stronger, more resilient community built on the recognition of God's power, the power that can overcome anything, even death. The American Psychological Association describes resiliency as adapting well in the face of stress. And one of the ways they cite to build up your resiliency is to review your past experiences and the sources of strength that got you through those times. Well, they must have taken a page out of Deuteronomy for that tip, because this law of first fruits goes on to say that as you give the basket of your offering, you must also recite the story of your Exodus, as a reminder that it was God's hand that brought you out of Egypt, that provided for you in the wilderness, that gave you this land. In this act of sacrificial giving, the people of God are prompted to first remember their experience and the source of strength that got them through. In other words, to remember your dependence on God and God's abundant faithfulness to you. We each can recall a time or many times in our lives that we got through only by God's grace. And we can each name achievements and joys that we know came only from God. And we'd like to think that remembering those would increase our trust in God and our resilience. But we do forget. We need regular reminders of our utter dependence and on God's steadfast love and provision. Our culture reinforces self-sufficiency, expertise, and wisdom. We need a solid foundation of reminders that God provides, that God gives the power, that great is God's faithfulness. And the disciplines of first fruits do that. We give to God our very best, first trusting in God, and then what happens? Then our trust grows as we discover the bounty that God delivers. I notice that we typically talk about giving to God because we trust in God, and that's certainly part of it. But this law points to an additional cause and effect, I think. Giving and then discovering you can trust in God. This tells us that our giving is not only a measure of our faith, but also a means to faith. A way to grow in trust and relationship with your Creator and Provider. And it tells us that giving is a means to build resiliency. Discovering that you don't rely on your own power, but you can instead rely on God's. So these laws were for the building up of community. What would a community look like that trusted like that? What would the impact be on a community of faith that believed in the power of God enough to sacrifice everything? A community that didn't believe the falsehood that it was all up to them or any one leader or person. It's difficult for people like us to imagine, frankly, people who are successful by the world's standards. We've worked hard for what we have. We've climbed the ladder of success, if you will. We do trust in our own power and capabilities. But that perspective often fails to acknowledge our privilege that helped get us there. Whether that privilege is white privilege or our roots in socioeconomic privilege, and it ignores God's hand in our abundance. A community that trusts enough to place their first fruits, their very best before God, will find themselves fueled by a power that enables them to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world despite all odds. And this power is what we see in the community in our reading from Acts. The earliest believers who found themselves filled with the power to spread the gospel to a world that rejected it. That community is described as having one heart and soul, sharing everything. They distributed what they collected, and there was not a needy person among them, and sharing all they had, they received great power to witness to the world. Notice their sacrificial giving, all their material goods. They shared everything so that no one was in need. And they were filled with the power for their mission. In fact, giving up what they had and sharing it was their central witness to the truth of the transformative powers of the gospel, a tangible sign of Jesus' message and God's provision. In our weakness, God is strong. This early community, filled with gratitude for the saving act of God in Jesus Christ, gave sacrificially. And that was the foundation of the community responsible for spreading the gospel to the world. With that firm foundation, they began their mission resilient. Not in need, but instead trusting that God's power would sustain them, not their own. God's provision, not theirs. Trusting in God's mercy and God's faithfulness, not that of any human or human institution. They set out to make disciples, the call to each of us today. We are all beginning to receive our pledge cards for next year, determining what our giving will look like. And as we do, we might be encouraged to consider the invitation in today's lesson: giving as a path to resiliency and faith. Giving so generously in response to God's abundant generosity that we actually give up some control and live into our dependence on God's provision, so that we might fully know God's power and reveal it to the world. Giving to the extent that we will be decreased so that God is increased. At the end of the Deuteronomy text in verse 11, after those first fruits were laid down before the Lord, we read that the Israelites, the Levites, and all the outsiders would celebrate the bounty of God. After they gave, they celebrated. And when we celebrate God's bounty on our own commitment celebration Sunday, November 12th, we'll pass these very baskets. We'll bring them before God, much like they did in ancient times. And by God's pure grace, these baskets will represent not only our giving, but also the power of Christ in us. These baskets will represent our declaration that we will not put our trust in the power of this world or on our own strength, but in God's power. That we will not put our trust in the trappings of this world, but in the freedom that is in Christ. That we will not give in to the fears of this world, but instead stand in the faith and confidence of the children of God. And like the Israelites, we will celebrate. We will celebrate as a people and a church who know their power is from above. A community of faith ready to risk for the kingdom, ready to let go for the redemption and restoration that God has in store for us. A community not surviving but thriving by the power of God and Jesus Christ. Now those will be some resilient disciples. And that will be a witness to the world that in God we trust. May it be so.